Tom Jensen heads up public policy polling as the director there. Publicpolicypolling.com is their website. You can find them on social media at PPP Polls on Twitter for more news and analysis. Of course, Tom's been following all of these races very closely, and he joins us now on the phone to talk about it. Tom, thank you so much for being with us today. Good morning.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
And we've been talking a lot about the local races here on this show, but let's branch out a little bit and talk about the key races on the state level, including one that we've talked about a little bit, but haven't in a while, the race for U.S. Senate. Sherry Beasley, almost certainly the Democratic nominee. It's a much closer and more contentious race on the Republican side. Where do things stand?
Well, what's really fascinating is that it seems like the Republican primary for Senate actually is not going to end up being that competitive of a race. Over the last couple of weeks, three different Republican polling companies have released new polls about the primary that the main candidates in are Ted Budd and Pat McCrory. And in those polls, Ted Budd has leads of 24 points, 20 points, and 24 points. So it really seems like Ted Budd is starting to run away with it. We actually talked really early in this process about some of the reasons why Pat McCrory, even as a former governor, might end up being upset in the primary, and he had a big initial lead. So in that sense, it's not that surprising that it looks like he's going to lose, but I am surprised that he's going to end up losing by this much. And I think it is just a big product of Donald Trump getting in line with Ted Budd. Last week, there was a very competitive U.S. Senate primary in Ohio with four or five really serious candidates. And at the end of the day, the candidate that Donald Trump endorsed won by about 10 points and sort of broke out from the field, I think, very much because of that Trump badge of approval. So I think that definitely shows the pull that Donald Trump still has on the Republican Party. And also the fact that Pat McCrory's band of Republicanism, you know, and he was sort of the moderate mayor of Charlotte, even though he's tried to reframe himself as being just sort of a crazy conservative like all the rest of them, I think even that history of sort of governance more sort of a moderate is giving him trouble in this primary.
Yeah, I was going to say, I honestly would have been surprised, like really from start to finish, if Pat McCrory had ended up winning the primary just because of that history of being more of a kind of a middle-of-the-road Republican, at least as far back as when he was mayor of Charlotte. The thing that really surprises me is you mentioned Ted Budd and Pat McCrory are the two frontrunners. You didn't say Mark Walker, and he started out as a lot stronger than he ended up too, right?
Yeah, and I think really the Trump going for Budd instead of him just killed him. I think that if Trump had gone for him, we would be talking about Mark Walker as somebody who would be very much in the conversation of this race. But he sort of ended up being the also-ran conservative. Those polls that I was just talking about where Budd is leading McCrory by 20-something points, Mark Walker's in single digits on those polls. So I think that when Trump went a different direction, it really just sort of stunted his ability to fundraise or become a relevant candidate in the race.
Other races on the ballot across the state. Obviously, we're in the 4th district, and we've been talking about the Democratic primary quite a bit, but other primaries going on in congressional races across the state. I think the one that people are probably watching most closely is the 11th district, which is the one that Madison Cawthorn is running in. I haven't checked the internet in the last 5 minutes, so I don't know what the latest scandal is with him, but where do things stand in terms of Cawthorn versus the series of Republicans that are challenging him?
Well, it's becoming increasingly clear that Cawthorn is going to have a very poor performance. He may well end up with only 30-something percent of the vote. But the thing is that because of a change to North Carolina election law that happened just in the last 2 years, he might actually get bailed out. Because it used to be that you had to get at least 40% of the vote to avoid a runoff. And if Madison Cawthorn ended up in a runoff one-on-one with one of his Republican opponents, he would almost definitely lose at this point because his support has just been cratering as one scandal after another comes in. But because of that change in North Carolina election law, he now only needs to get 30% of the vote. And that is the range that he's sort of in polling now. And that doesn't mean that he's gotten off scot-free for all his scandals. He was polling in the 50s 2 months ago, and his support has just been gradually getting lower and lower and lower as more and more of these scandals have come out, to the point where he's now in the 30s. But if he can actually stay in the 30s, he will still get another term, because even if he just gets 31% of the vote and 69% of the Republicans in his district want to get rid of him, because he has so many opponents and because support for people who don't want him is sort of spreading out amongst all those other opponents, he may skate back in with a pretty unimpressive percentage of the vote. So it'll be very interesting to see if there's any sort of coalescing in the last week of the campaign around a particular one of those opponents, such that they would get enough support to overtake him. But definitely possible that he's going to get back in with a weak performance because of that change to a 30% threshold.
If his popularity is still like dropping by the day, is this going to be one of those situations where it's going to depend on how big turnout is on election day proper?
Yeah, and another big piece of it is unaffiliated voters are really participating in the Republican primary out there. And I think it's safe to say that for the most part, especially if they're people who are unaffiliated, that usually vote in Democratic primaries but are deciding to vote in the Republican primary this time around, I think it's safe to say those people are not voting for Cawthorn. So if there's a big surge of those kind of people, it could end up that his being in the 30s finally in this last week goes down to his being in the 20s and he actually gets defeated, because he has been on a pretty steep line down. So I think he would still win today, but he may need that. He may need the election to be today instead of having 8 more days for things to get even worse for him.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, publicpolicypolling.com. Again, the website at PPP Polls on Twitter for more news and analysis as well. We just had, and we got to wrap up here in a minute, but we just had a primary in Ohio with some pretty significant races on that ballot. And of course, a lot of attention there on the Republican Senate race. Again, how big of an impact Donald Trump's endorsement had in that race, as you mentioned, it turned out to be pretty significant. What else do we glean from the Ohio primary that can help us understand things here?
Well, I think that our primary for Congress here in Orange County and Durham County is really sort of a proxy for the national fights within the Democratic Party about which direction they're going to go. You really sort of have Valerie Fouché, who's kind of the establishment candidate of the same kind of people who maybe voted for Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden in primaries in the past or are generally gravitating towards Valerie Fouché. And then you have Nida Alam, who's sort of more of this progressive candidate who she's been endorsed by Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. And I think a lot of her support is going to come from the kind of people who supported Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren in past primaries. And this basic setup of the race is something that we've seen a lot across the country over the last two cycles. And one thing that was really interesting in Ohio is that you had a race where the establishment candidate was Chantel Brown, who won a special election for Congress last summer against the sort of progressive candidate Nina Turner, who's a very well-known Bernie Sanders supporter nationally. So they faced off last August, and the establishment candidate, Chantel Brown, won by 6 or 7 points. It was a very close race. And then they had a rematch on the ballot last week in Ohio, and this time Chantel Brown won by 34 points. So you saw sort of a narrow victory for the establishment last summer, and then with the same candidates coming back 9 months later, you saw this huge victory for the establishment this time. There's a lot of dialogue right now about whether, with the difficulties that the Democratic Party's having, with the difficulties that Joe Biden's having, if the party needs to be careful about not going too far to the left. And we definitely saw evidence of sort of things moving back in the establishment's direction in Ohio last week. If that happens in North Carolina next week, I think you're going to end up seeing Valerie Fouché win by a pretty significant margin. But we'll see if the late endorsements Nida Alam has gotten from Bernie Sanders and the Independent Weekly and those sorts of things allow her to prevent a similar outcome here.
PublicPolicyPolling.com, the website, at PPP Polls on Twitter for more analysis from Tom and Public Policy Polling. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.